Hi everyone, I'm Jean-Michel and welcome to the show. And today we are joined by a man who's focused on tokenizing the future, Mr. Gene Dayev. Let's jump in. Gene Dayev, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So before we jump in, Emma, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do in the blockchain industry.
I'm the CEO of Stobox, S-T-O-B-O-X. And for the last 4 years, we're focusing on tokenization. It's a new market of asset tokenization and how we relate to the blockchain, because blockchain makes it possible. Without the blockchain, you can't tokenize. So what we do is that we put assets on the blockchain.
Okay, so let's come back to the tokenization topic a little later. Tell me a little first about why you got into this industry and what it is about it that excites you.
Look, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I was around when the different industries, different markets. And when it was back in 2017 when I touched the topic of DLT, decentralized layer technology and the blockchain, I thought that it's definitely a new paradigm of different things. And apparently, I started digging on that. We started as the research and development, as the conceptual, company, trying to focus and drill into the different implications of the blockchain. And apparently one of the interesting parts is to be able to move real world assets on that big database, what we call a blockchain. And that's how it all started. And now we see many directions, like there's cryptos, there's NFTs, there's different deviations and different already industries are emerging from the topic, from the blockchain. And tokenization is definitely a big and one part of that.
Yeah, so tokenization, I think, is a vastly ambiguous area in an already crowded space. Let's try and simplify this idea of real world asset and tokenization for the audience. So I'm assuming most people out there are familiar with somebody selling an NFT for $25 million. I'm sorry if that was you, buyer, but hey. So it's not what you do, right? You're something completely different.
Look, when we talk about, first of all, what is a tokenization? So tokenization is the process of transferring something to the blockchain. So you basically tokenize. Then you may tokenize a company. And most of our clients and what we do, that we're tokenizing the company. When we go back and say, what is the company? The company is the registry where it is being held, right? Usually it's local registries within different countries. They may be, they're all government regulated in any sense.
So let's use like a real world example. Talk to me on the property side, for example, right?
Okay, look, you have the building, you have a property, you have a company that owns a real estate asset. Okay. And the ownership of this company is written somewhere in what we call a paper-based securities ledger, right? It's somewhere, you don't know where. And it's a liquid, because in order to sell this company and try to sell it to hundreds or potentially thousands or maybe tens of thousands of investors, it would be impossible for you to manage that thing, given the fact it's on the paper or in some governmental registries. So the idea is to shift the ledger from the paper-based to the blockchain-based. In this case, your company, your real estate company, would sit on that rails where you would be able to distribute the ownership to whatever amounts of people and potential investors. And that, the process is called the tokenization. But that, what does it give you? It gives you the liquidity. It gives you the opportunity to, first of all, to partially sell, easy sell. And your business, for example, it may be anywhere, maybe in Europe, Malta, maybe in US, doesn't matter. But the investors from around the world who comply, legally comply, of course, it's a KYC process, AML process underneath. But now they are able to buy that part of your company without leaving their sofa, back in home, anywhere in the world where it complies. That now, without the tokenization, how it's used, I have to physically fly somewhere, sit with the notary, sit with the seller, sit with the buyers. Everybody has to comply. We sign the documents, we drink some coffee, then I leave. It's a bit of a legacy, right?
Yeah.
In today's world.
It's a painful process.
It's a painful. So what we do is that we allow businesses, global businesses, to shift to these rails and then become what we call, you know, much more liquid and easier to manage.
Okay, so like on the liquidity side, can you explain to everyone what the benefit is for all parties involved when you have an asset that is originally illiquid and you make it liquid? What's the benefit there?
You have an asset which is basically stuck, the value is stuck, and nobody with the paper-based ledgers would be able to offer you a capital unless you fundraise. But again, this process of fundraising is also analog. So, okay, you go to the YouTube, you speak to the funds, but that's all analog. With us, you can offer part of your company within this dashboard that what we bring as the product, and you would promote your dashboard as the part of your company as a kind of entrance to participate in your offering, in your primary offering, and then when it's done, it may also move to the secondary. And this is a great point, because usually only public companies are liquid and they're traded on the big exchanges, New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, London Stock, but they're public companies, and not every company is ready to be public, not every company is willing to be public or has enough funds and maturity to become public. And in this case, you may have a small startup, you may have a one building real estate, or regardless of the size, you enjoy this liquidity opportunity as if you're public, because you're now self-traded. Anybody can come to your platform, anybody can comply, pass KYC, AML, whatsoever, and buy a part of your company and then sell it on the secondary market that is organized.
So the friction aspect, I think like you mentioned, is one very important aspect, right? Because nobody wants to jump on a plane, like you said, just to go and sign a contract, right? I think the other part is the liquidity itself. So if you own some kind of property and you need to cash out, getting your liquidity back from this investment in traditional means is extremely difficult and time consuming.
Absolutely.
And takes forever, right? So
may take forever.
may take forever. Depends how you price it, to be fair, right? But even if, I mean, there's still a certain amount of time you have to wait for the notary, for the regulatory bodies in that domicile to be able to process everything. So it takes time. So I think there's real benefit in liquidity, both for retail investors as well as businesses, right? Like,
surely. And not only this, but for example, a lot of people are buying real estate just to save money, and they usually, and it's a quite an expensive entrance, like in globally. You would buy an apartment for, I don't know, let's call it at least 300,000 plus. And not many people could afford this.
Yeah.
At the same time, you also have no hedge, because you put all your eggs in one basket by investing into that property. Given the fact that different properties are tokenized, you may participate with $1,000 at each, diversify the risks globally, and then you have the ability to secondary sell whatever position you have. And that unlocks entrance into that real estate market for people who cannot afford the real apartment.
Yeah. So what you're saying in simple terms is me and a couple of other friends can come together to stick money into either a single property or a bunch of properties amalgamated together. We can have partial ownership, and we can buy and sell the ownership of this property through an app.
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay. So that sounds like
the... And you pay dividends through the app.
Okay.
That's another.
Describe that to me. How would that work?
That work because within the platform that we've built, you have this cap table, right? So your real estate company now belongs not only to you, but a bunch of investors that you have on the cap table. And that property, which is leased out and generates, let's call it 10% per annum, you collect these funds and then you basically distribute it to your whole ledger of investors by simply doing a click.
Mm.
And now everyone is joining the part of their revenues from the dividends, which is very easy to manage, comparing to the old, whatever, legacy system that
sure.
we have at the moment.
Sure. So you touched on something earlier, which was quite interesting, which was you mentioned using DLT for the sake of replacing a physical legacy ledger with a digital one, right? Which is the dream, really. And I think it's the use case. It's the number one use case for blockchain. Like Bitcoin is not it. It's the replacement of ledgers,
yeah.
of traditional physical ledgers with digital ones. That is the real value
Absolutely.
In blockchain. But the tech is just one part of the equation, right? So, on top of the tech then sits the regulatory implications and the operational processes which need to meld with the tech in order for it to work out for everyone. So how do you guys go about solving something like that?
Look, there are three main aspects. First of all, is what we offer is that we call it perfect knowledge. So for any business to touch that, you need to educate. You need to educate a business owner. What is it? What is he facing? What will be the processes and the consequences of what would be his life after it's tokenized? Because it's a different processes and
sure.
not many people understand the nuances. So what we do is that we educate, and part of our business is basically research and development and provide that knowledge on the general grounds to our clients. And that's already one part of that equation being solved. The second part is legal. And because we do not, there is a crypto licensing, there's a crypto market. And what we do is, it's also based on the blockchain, but it's not a crypto. And that's what most of people missing. Because when you tokenize a company, that's a securities, right? So that it's not a utility token, it's not an NFT, that's a securities. And in every country, talking about US, Canada, we're talking about EU, there's existing rules of how securities are managed. So we just comply with that existing law, laws, plural. We, even though there is a new VFAs, the new crypto regulations are coming, we are just, you know, monitoring that, because for us, it has been already regulated, because once you tokenize the company, it's important. You can't, it's not an NFT, it's not a crypto. It's securities, private company securities, but on a blockchain ledger. That's the difference. Not the paper, but the blockchain part. So the legal, of course, we have a client who has more than 100 jurisdictions, investors from more than 100 jurisdictions in one company, in BVI. So imagine you're creating a framework to comply on the securities part, where a private company might have thousands of investors from 100 different jurisdictions.
Yeah, sounds like a regulatory nightmare. That's what that sounds like.
And this is, once you dive into this and work for the last 4 years as we did, it kind of becoming more or less clear. And now it's clear. Obviously, we don't work with all of their jurisdictions. Obviously, you can't settle the company in different jurisdictions where this type of technology and this type of management is not allowed.
Sure.
But they are already there, like US is perfectly open for this. Again, BVI, there's a number of jurisdictions, Liechtenstein, Switzerland. So all of these jurisdictions are already friendly for you to manage your ledger. And again, you're going to manage it in on the blockchain form. And the next part is the technology. And it's very important because something that we've built, and a lot of things that we're building, no one built before. It's not just to provide the primary offering. Because unlike with the paper-based securities, where you control, where you can see who owns what, and then without your signature, nothing would happen. In the blockchain world, these tokens or the securities may end up being in the different hands. Somebody can sell it or transfer it. So you have to build the regulatory fence within different jurisdictions to make sure that our clients' securities are not ending up being with people who never pass KYC, or for example, from some jurisdictions where they're not supposed to. So we are building, that's what we call a Starbucks ecosystem. And that's where we're building a framework that would do the compliance and the regulatory compliance on air. Because we don't need compliance people who are gonna check if you are allowed to purchase and to resell. And because it's all automatic and it's quite frequent, you can't use manual labor to control this. So you have to enforce these rules and regulations on smart contracts, implement it into the logic. So once you do the primary issuance, it's already be fenced around potential risks, because we don't want to provide our clients with the ability to do a mistake, because they're just clients. They don't know these pitfalls and something may go wrong. So for us, this protectionism of our clients, it's a very important issue. And to do this, you basically have to put all these regulations which are written in the paper form to create smart contracts out of them, make sure they all correlate and work in one blended environment. Add KYC on top of it, AKYB on top of it, check your business. And this is, you end up with a compliant worldwide system for securities.
Well, that sounds like an awfully interesting vision. Just one last question from my end. If you had to think about what the future of tokenization would hold, what does it look like for you?
That's another good question. Look, when something emerges, it's expensive. It's very heavyweight. I mean, and even today, tokenization, it is a heavyweight process because it's costly. It may take up to 6 months to get these different approvals. And plus, it's a lot of information to digest for the business owners. The future. So the future, what we do and how we see is that our goal is to simplify that process as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And as thoroughly as possible, in a sense that this knowledge will be commoditized. So that's just, you don't think about electricity, you just use the pulp. So we want to bring it as a commodity. And in order to bring it as a commodity, we need to build this logic inside. So it's going to be easier for a person to tokenize their business. So what we believe in is that now tokenization is affordable for SMEs and bigger guys, but we want to bring it down to a pub. You're drinking a beer, there's a small business that's on the corner, and that business can enjoy tokenization because he wants to open a second pub, and his clients would love to add some value to invest into his second location.
Yeah.
Easy.
It's like the best investment for a regular, no less. Let's open pub number two.
That's again, it's pubs, it's a restaurant, it's a small businesses. And for them, it's, imagine how many businesses worldwide private. So when we think about this as a, when we look at the markets and say public markets, the public markets is less than 1% from the global value. So when we follow Bloomberg and see this is ups and downs, what we're just looking at is less than 1% of the global value.
Oh, wow, I had no idea, actually.
And the rest is privately owned companies. And a lot of is small business, globally small business, which is just captured in this old legacy system. Because how are you going to fundraise for the second pop? Get a credit from the bank? What if bank doesn't give you a credit? Family and friends, but that's very limited. But now you go on your YouTube, there's thousands of people watching how you know how you do with your old pub, and now you fundraise for a new one. Everybody knows Jean-Michel, of course, and this is how you crowdfund, but it's crowdfunding based on the security. So they become a co-owners. And then if I'm living and I want to sell my 100 shares for $1,000, easy to do it with my phone.
That's a beautiful vision. So like in summary, I'd say it's the enablement of micro communities, no? Being able to trade amongst each other.
Absolutely. And this is not only why do we think that business is the only the tokenization is only for the business? It also applies for individuals. Because when we, and this is another concept that we're working on, and there's something that amazes me even more than the tokenization of the business, is the tokenization of humans. In a sense that there's a lot of people that by relocating and using the funds for the relocation and for education would have much better hour rate. Think of this. So why I can't tokenize 1,000 hours of my own life for 10 bucks, for example, get this 10,000, change my life, get educated, change the location, move from a depressive region to a more prosperous region. 10,000 is a, and then my cost after that may double or triple. And I may be a smart kid from anywhere in the world. So this is a investing into people through tokenization. I think it's a much more disruptive concept than just moving regular businesses from the legacy ledger to the blockchain. And that's something which opens a new way of thinking, because now you invest into people, literally.
Of course, that's an entirely different paradigm shift, like entirely different. But Gene, thank you so much for your time. It was extremely insightful.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure.